Chapter 1. Martha. Somebody is lying in this courtroom. I don't know who yet, but somebody is. The defense or the prosecution. They cannot both be telling the truth. The legal jargon seems to swirl around me as I listen to expert after expert being examined, cross-examined, and then re-examined by the barristers. Most of the time I'm following it. Most of the time I understand what's happening. But sometimes, like right now, I can't see how we ended up here. Last August, I gave birth to Layla in the middle of the night. It was dark outside, and we were sequestered away in a side room at the hospital, Scott sitting on the end of the bed. I don't remember when they finally handed her to me, but I remember her afterwards. A warm weight in my arms, her hand curling surprisingly around my own. I texted my sister Becky, and only Becky, between contractions, though I hardly remember what I said. When she came to visit, she brought the late summer nighttime chill in with her. I could feel her cold cheek against mine as she hugged me. "You did it! Oh, you did it!" she said, celebrating me and not the baby. It was exactly what I needed at that moment. My sister. The woman who used to WhatsApp me first thing every single day without fail. The woman whose eyebrows I plucked on the eve of her wedding, both of us laughing as they became more and more uneven. The woman who painted my living room with me one Easter weekend. We didn't stop chatting for the entire 4 days. My sister, my best friend, Becky. And now, here we are. Cot death, the defense says. Unexplained. Murder, the prosecution says. I look across at my sister in the dock, the woman accused of murdering my child.
Chapter 2. Becky. 11 months earlier, Thursday, the 28th of September. I can't resist them. My hands shake as I open my handbag and find the packet of cigarettes. They're shiny, inviting, inner foil, unbroken and beautiful. My breathing has already slowed as I bring the cigarette to my mouth for the first drag in weeks. I blow the clouds of smoke out into the night air and look at the sky above Dalston. I close my eyes in relief as the smoke hits my lungs. Sweet Jesus. Poisonous joy. There are no stars, but the moon is slung low and sepia-toned. I stare at it for a few minutes as I smoke and try not to cry. I'm not very good at not crying. Classic drama queen. So my cheeks are wet with tears within seconds. The television people I dress sets for would like a Dalmatian print Chesterfield armchair, and they want it by 9 a.m. This is the fourth time this has happened this week. A last-minute request to be sorted out by me, and only me. This wasn't how it was supposed to end up. I was going to be an interior designer. My obsession started with changing rooms. God bless those leopard print walls. But it endured beyond that. I dropped out of design school when I had Xander, my 9-year-old, and spent my 20s languishing on Pinterest, staring at copper lamps and furry throws. I thought set dressing would give me an in, but instead it's just a dead end, like everything. One day, I tell myself. My manager, Sandra, pokes her head out of the side door of the studio I am standing next to. On it, she says. She is tall and slim and believes, very seriously, and very vociferously,